Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight, let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Now, I'm going to remind you, because it's been kind of scattered out, but we're in a series on answered prayer.
Amen.
How many remembered that? Now, be honest. One, two, three. Okay. Well, I'm not faulting you because I forgot about it too. And I thought, what am I going to preach on? I think it was yesterday. I think, what am I going to preach on tomorrow night? And I got to looking at some things. Wait a minute. I'm in a series. We're going to do that. Hallelujah. All right. Praise God. But it's been spread out. Help me know that. Amen. Don't act like you all got it all together all the time either. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. And this is answered prayer. This is actually teaching number 4. There's going to be 5. I'm going to do another one. And probably sometime, I've done this series before. This isn't the first time. Matter of fact, I think it's about the 3rd time. It's not because I don't have anything else to preach. It's just that the Lord has brought me back to it. And I got a feeling He's going to have me do it on a Sunday when everybody's here, or the possibility of them being here. Anyway, everybody. I don't know if everybody's ever here all, you know, at one time. But let's go here to Philippians. And what we're going to talk about tonight, and the title of this one is Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Thanksgiving. And I want to begin by going to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Got it?
Got it?
The Bible says, be careful or anxious or full of care for nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, hallelujah. Well, how many things we got permission to be careful about or worried about?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's the Bible, right?
Yeah. Right.
But in everything. How many things?
Everything.
Don't you like the Bible? Nothing. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't leave anything unturned, does it?
But
by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Everybody say, with thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving.
And you know, sometimes we may have the prayer down and the supplication down, but the Bible says, with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Let your request be made known unto the pastor and the, unto God, right? Well, that must mean He's going to do something about it,
right?
You know, that scripture is casting all your care on the pastor, for He careth for you. I mean, that's not the scripture, is it? Now, I don't mind to help you, but, you know, you got to have cast your care on the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Let your request be made known unto God. So, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many could use some more peace?
Amen.
Now, you know, I read this verse. I'm going to read some other verses, of course. But I read that verse because I wanted to say this to you, that according to the Word, prayer and thanksgiving go together.
Yes.
Yep. Amen. They go together. Amen. And when you do it right, then the peace of God passes all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? That means you can have peace when it doesn't make sense.
Right.
You know what? There's a scripture, Ephesians, that says, and the love of God which passes understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say it's too rich for your mind. Amen. It's too rich for your mind that He gave His Son for you. You must be valuable to Him.
Yes. Right?
Amen. I mean, think what He gave for you. Amen. He paid, you know, he paid the ultimate price. Amen. But He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, how many know thanksgiving is an act of faith? I say this, and, you know, I've said this over and over and over the years. But I like this saying, that thanksgiving is the track that the train of faith runs on. How many know a train's not any good without track? You got to have track. You got to have something to travel on. Well, your faith needs thanksgiving. You know, months ago, maybe been over a year ago now, Pastor, maybe been 2 years ago, you know how time goes by. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? You know, when I look around, I was trying to look for some young people, but I'm not. There's Shelby. Well, okay. Jill's looking at me like, you've had it after service. Yeah, I was getting a really mean look there. Okay, Jill here. Okay, all right, come on. But I'm talking about young people. You know what I'm talking about? Right. Young people. Yeah, Brother Caps, you say, if you find yourself in a hole, quit digging. Okay. But how many know the older you get, the faster it goes?
Yeah.
You see, you begin, you know what I'm saying? You begin to see things differently, too. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you was a kid, you know, a year like seemed like eternity. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I couldn't wait to get out of high school. You know, it was real dumb. Once I got out, I thought that was stupid. You know, went to work and thought, well, I like school better than this. You know, I couldn't wait. But 4 years seemed like a life sentence to me. But, man, I got stuff on my to-do list that's been there longer than that now. I probably, you know, some of y'all have French fries under your seats been there longer than 4 years of your car, that is. And, you know, so things begin to change, you know. And, of course, with God, you know how many God said a day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. You ever notice when God says he's going to do something, sometimes he sounds like, I'm going to do this right away. Well, to him, it is right away. To us, it's like, hurry, yeah. Right? You know, so sometimes, you know, but the older you get, the more you realize, you know, man, that went by fast. Yeah. Didn't that 2019 go by fast?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like it was just clicking, 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 clicking. And I don't mind if they slow down a little bit, really, honestly. But anyway, you know, just the way it is. But, you know, the thing about Thanksgiving is it's the track that the train of faith runs on. Faith has to have a track to run on, and it's Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving's an act of faith. You don't thank somebody unless they've done something for you. You don't just come up to some stranger or somebody, or I don't just come up to Pastor Jerry after the service. If I just come up to Pastor Jerry after the service and say thank you, he'd go, what did I do? But see, God's saying, I want you to thank me before you ever see anything. When you ask me for it, thank me, act in faith, and expect it to happen.
Amen?
Amen? You know, listen, remember remember the story of the lepers that came to Jesus, you know, the 10 lepers, and they came to Jesus and they wanted to be healed. And he said, go, you show yourselves to the priest. And they went, and as they went, the Bible said they were healed. Remember that? Well, you know, and I studied that out. I think Pastor Chuck was preaching on that one night. And while he's preaching, the thought hit me. I wonder how far they would have had to go from where they were at to go show himself to the priest, because the priest would be at the temple in Jerusalem. So I'm wondering, all right, they were in Samaria or Galilee, so after the service, maybe the next day or might have been that night, I just began to do some study on that, and I found out that the shortest they would have probably had to walk was 45 miles. Now, I'm thinking to me, this is my thinking, I'm thinking, if a preacher tells me, go your way, you're healed, and go show yourself to the priest, you know, and he says that to me, and I realize I got to walk 45 miles before I get there. I must be expecting something. I mean, that's a commitment. And it doesn't tell us how far they went. It just says as they went. So we don't know how far they went. Did they go a mile? Did they go a half mile? Did they go 3 miles? Did they go? We don't know how far they went. But eventually, the one of them came back, and he gave thanks to Jesus. And remember what Jesus said, where's the nine? Is this the only one that came back to give thanks? Well, he was expecting them all to come back and thank him, wasn't he? Right? But they just went their way, you know. Right? They just went their way. And I like what Jesus said. He said, your faith has made you whole. Now, there's different ways to look at that, okay? That word faith, that word whole in the King James Bible, it means salvation, which means he not only got healed, he got his soul saved. But also, a friend of mine years ago told me this, and so I preach it, you know. He's in heaven now, so I can use it. I've used it before he was in heaven. But he told me this. He said, you know, he said, leprosy eats off part of your body. You know, your fingers, your ears, your nose. He said, this guy, when Jesus said you're whole, he said those others were cleansed. That means the leprosy stopped, it's gone. But they could still be missing body parts. This guy came back and he got it all back. Now, I like to think he got both. He got saved, amen, and he got his body parts back. And I see this spiritually. Now, spiritually thinking, I see this. See, Thanksgiving will make you a whole person. You know, one of the things that the Apostle Paul talked about in the last days, he said, in the last days, perilous times would come. Remember that, Timothy? And the Amplified Bible says, dangerous, hard to live in, hard to bear times would come. And it's not because of earthquakes or tornadoes or famines. He said, for men shall be. It'll be because of people. It'll be hard to live with people. Well, folks, we're there now, aren't we? How many believe we're there right now? People are hard. Now, not people like you, but people out in the world, some of them are hard to live with. It's dangerous sometimes, you know. And he begins to list some of the things that they would be in the last days. And I read that list and I think, that's today America. That's America today, you know. And one of the things that he says is they would be unthankful. Amen. And Paul, before Timothy in the book of Romans, in your Bible, you know, Romans is before Timothy. How many know that? How many are reading your Bible? Okay. If you don't know that, you'll find it out. Okay. Romans 4, Timothy. Paul said that one of the downfalls of society is men were not thankful. Now, I think that applies today. I mean, if you would listen to some of our politicians and some of our actors and some of the people that speak into Americans' life that shouldn't have a voice at all, you think this is the worst place on the planet to live. You think it's so much injustice and it's so awful, you can't hardly make it, you can't hardly live here. And I'm thinking, why don't you people that make all these millions of dollars just acting, why don't you go to another country and see if you could make it over there? See if they'll pay you that over there. We're living in the land of plenty. Hallelujah. We're living in the land of blessing. But when we lose our Thanksgiving seed, that's one of the things that causes us to lose the blessing. Remember what God told Israel? He said, if you don't thank me, if you don't serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, he said, you'll end up serving your enemies. I think we should just be thankful. You know, I try to be a really thankful person. If people do things for me, I'm appreciative. You know what I'm you know what I'm saying? I'm glad. No matter how small or big it is, you know, I want to be thankful, and I want to be thankful to God. Every day I'm thanking God. I thank God for, you know, sometimes I'll just sit around and just thank Him for all that I have, you know, all the blessings that I have. Yeah, I don't think I hardly ever miss a day. Maybe I never do miss a day. I don't know. You know, if I have, it's by accident. But I don't thank Him for my blessings. Hallelujah. Because I'm grateful. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you know, we have a society that's just unthankful. It's like, you know, today, who would have thought, you know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I remember the president saying when I was a kid, the president said, don't ask what your country, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Amen. How many candidates for president do you hear saying that? Now they say, don't ask what you can do for your country, ask what your country can do for you. You see, it's just flipped. Amen. But we're to be, you know, as God's people, we're to have Thanksgiving. We're to be thankful. Amen. You say, well, everything isn't perfect in my life. Well, when it gets that way, you'll be in heaven. Right? I mean, you know, listen, that's not unbelief. That's just, you know, well, listen, man, by the time you get one duck in a row, how many know another duck jumps out? You got to put it back. You remember years ago, there was this lady, she took these fertility drugs. She couldn't have any children. She took fertility drugs and she had 8. Let me remember her. Remember that? It was back in the 90s or something. Well, one day I saw a picture of them, and she was trying to give them all a bath. And there's about 3 in the bathroom and 5 out in the hallway trying to corral them all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the blessings were overflowing. Amen. But sometimes we just focus on what's wrong. I've said that because I was talking about getting your ducks in order, in case you're wondering. She's trying to get all those kids corralled in the bathroom when they're everywhere. I mean, life's like that sometimes. You know, and so that's not a negative thing, because we're going to be victorious. We're going to win. But if we just focus on what's out of line, isn't that right? I mean, you buy a brand new house, you got all kinds of new stuff in it, and you find one scratch on one of the cabinets, and it's like the whole house is ruined. You're in the dumps for 3 weeks. I mean, come on. Think about all the good things you have. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, you know, this is going on in my life. Well, listen, everybody has stuff going on in your life. Remember Peter said that your brotherhood are all suffering the same thing in the world. They're all being tested by the devil. So what? So what, he tests us? You think he's bigger than us? Well, that was weak. I got a scripture in my Bible. I don't know about yours. It says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You think that he's stronger than we are? No. Do you think he's smarter than we are? No. Well, you seem to know about that one, but anyway. Do you think that he's got victory over us?
No.
All right, then if he's so he's testing us. The only way he's going to win is if we let him.
That's right.
If we quit. Amen. So we have to understand that one of the things we have to do, we have to maintain Thanksgiving in our life. We have to be thankful. And if our prayer life is going to be vibrant, if our prayer life is going to be alive, we have to add Thanksgiving with our prayer life. That means we're thanking God. Amen? Now, we're in Philippians. Just go a few pages over to Colossians, and it tells us one of the reasons. It tells us real strongly why we should do this. Colossians chapter 4, go there. Hey, how many are with me tonight?
Yeah.
We're just talking about answered prayer. We want our prayers answered, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to pray just to be praying.
Right.
You know, some people base their prayers on how they feel. Well, I feel like God hurt me. Well, all right, great. But how many of that doesn't matter, we feel like it or not. How many have ever felt like God heard you? Come on, be honest. How many ever felt like God didn't hear you? How many know there's probably even more times you feel like God didn't hear you? Then he did hear you. You ever prayed for something and all kinds of doubts assail your mind? Amen. Hey, I mean, I'm a minister. I pray for people all the time, lay hands on them, you know, and some, well, Pastor, can you pray for me? And I'll pray for them. You know, sometimes the devil will come to your mind and say, well, nothing happened. Well, you know what? I'm not supposed to cause anything to happen. The Bible said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Anybody tell me what these are? All I got to do is find somebody sick, put them on. That isn't really that difficult. Recovery's up to God.
That's right.
I had a kid get in the prayer line one time. I was preaching at I think maybe I was still at the Revival Center. Or I might have gone back to preach there after I had moved on, after the Lord led me on another, you know, from the church. But I remember praying for this young kid. He had a stomach problem. And I laid hands on him, prayed for him. Took my hands off of him. He looked at me and said, it's still there. I said, well, all right. I'll lay my hands back on you. And he looked up and said, when I got done, took my hands off him, he said, it's still there. I thought, man, this is a hard kid to pray for. You're supposed to act like you got it. You're supposed to go, glory to God, hallelujah, and then walk off. Don't you know how this works, kid? Haven't you been brought up in Pentecostalism? Don't you know how this works? So I laid my hands on him again, prayed for him again, took him off of him. He said, it's gone. I thought, that kid got healed. Because he wasn't leaving until he got it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go here to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. I just want to read this one verse 2. Colossians 4, verse 2. And I'm reading out of the Old King James. It says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Now, that's a little bit hard to unravel. Now, the New King James says it this way, and this is pretty good, too. It says, continue in prayer, be vigilant in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving. Now, how many know what the word here is when it says watch? It means to keep awake. So let's read it that way. Continue in prayer and keep awake in prayer with thanksgiving. Now, when I read that, you know, one of the things that went through me is thanksgiving keeps your request before God. It keeps your prayer awake. Has anybody ever had a faith project? You prayed for something and you prayed and then, you know, nothing happened immediately. And then about 3 weeks later, you just forgot about it. Come on, be honest with me. Well, I have, you know. But here's the thing. If we continue to thank God for it, we keep our prayer alive. We keep it awake, alert. We're vigilant in thanksgiving, thanking God for it. Amen. Now, this is all scriptural when you think about it. You know, the Bible talks about even Abraham. It says that he staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith. Anybody know the rest of that? Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he promised he's also able to perform. So Abraham was strong in faith because he gave glory to God. Colossians tells us this. It says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Well, how did you receive Christ Jesus the Lord? By faith, right? As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and established in the faith and abounding therein with thanksgiving. And that tells me we abound in our faith with thanksgiving. See, I'm telling you, faith, Faith and thanksgiving go together. I was talking about Pastor Chuck a while ago. I don't think I completed that. I got off. But he was talking about a couple of years ago, whatever it's been. And he was talking about how faith has friends. How faith has to have things. Faith by itself, Peter even said, add to your faith. Remember that second Peter? Add some things to your faith. Well, what does faith have to have? Well, some of the things he talked about, faith has to have, it has to have action. Faith has to have a voice. Faith has to have a praise. Amen. Faith has to have certain things. And one of the things it has to have is thanksgiving. You get unthankful, and your faith's going downhill. You just got to find something to be thankful for. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. You just don't know. Well, listen, there's always, if you're saved and you're not going to hell, you got something to shout about. Now, you know, I go to church here. I don't know if you noticed or not, but I go to church here. Now, at this church, these preachers here, they preach about our redemption. I like preachers that preach about our redemption, right? I preached at a service, it's been a few years back, at another pastor in another state. I was preaching, and there was a significant guy on the front row. A well-known minister, well-known. And he's, one of them, especially during the 80s and 90s, he was real well known. And so when I got done and I sat down, he said to me, and it was really good, great compliment. He said, "You're a redemption preacher." I said, "Yeah, hallelujah. That's what I want to preach on, my redemption." But I could be happy. Listen to me now. I'm not going, but I could be happy in a church that just preached all there is to salvation. How could you be happy there? Because I'm happy I'm not going to hell. I'd have something to shout about. Now, I'm glad. I said, I'm glad that God has revealed some things to us about our redemption. Amen? Amen. But if all I had was one thing, I'd still be shouting happy. Amen. Amen. You know, even if I didn't know about healing, even if I didn't know about deliverance, even if I didn't know about God meeting your needs, I'd still be happy because I'm not going to hell, praise God. Yeah. You know, I'd sing some of those unbelieving songs and cry over them. You know, in a little while, it'll all be over. At the end of the journey, there's God. Just a little cabin in glory land, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Build my mansion next door to Jesus. Tell the angels I'm coming home. I'd just shout. I'd get my hanky out and shout over that. Hallelujah. Amen. You've probably never been in a good Baptist church. You know, the old time when they get their hanky out and shout over heaven. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. Well, heaven's something to shout about. Amen. Sometimes we Pentecostals with word faith, people forget about we're going to heaven. Yeah. We used to call it the Molly Grubs. You ever hear that term? How many ever heard of that? How many never heard? Okay. Molly Grubs, that means you're down in the dumps. You know, because, I was believing God and this didn't come through. Yeah, but you're going to heaven. Besides, why'd you quit? Why'd you quit believing? Amen. That's a good preaching, Pastor. I know. Hallelujah. Amen. How many know we got to get a hold of these things? Amen. Amen. See, let's go to Thessalonians. All right, let's go. We're close. We're just kind of going through here, these letters, the epistles. Let's go to Thessalonians. Yeah, I want to read scripture there. 1 Thessalonians 5. And let's go there. How many know Thanksgiving is one way we stay full of the Holy Ghost? You know, your life is much better, staying full of the Holy Ghost. For I was saved, I drank. You know, I'm not proud of that, but sometimes God will have me say those things because people can learn some things by it. And, people would come up with kind of psychological reasons why you drank, why you did drugs and all that. You know, this happened and that happened and, so forth and all that. I found out this is a bunch of baloney. I found out the reason why I did it was because life was boring. People say, "Well, it's just peer pressure." Oh no, I could do it without any peers around. I didn't have to have any peers. See, life needs some. This life. Just this natural world. How many know it's just not the. It's got its issues, right? But yet Paul said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't get your inspiration from wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think Christians, they just got to have my wine. I got to have my wine. I think, well, you need, you know what? It's because you don't have any spirit. You had your, you see, listen, I didn't give up anything. I got something. Listen, now I'm not criticizing anybody who has had some issues, but when I got saved, I didn't find it hard to give up some of that stuff. I didn't find it hard to give up all that. Why? Because I got something so much better. I didn't care about it, man. This is so much better than all the alcohol and all the drugs. This just blows it away. I never forget. I've told you this story, but it's a true story. It's a true story. That's why I tell it. But I remember one time I was just a babe in the Lord. I couldn't have been just a few weeks old in the Lord. And we were having church that night, you know, and it was a night service. And I mean, the Holy Ghost broke out. And I mean, people began to shout. People began to dance, you know. Sister Mary fell out on the floor, which that wasn't unusual. And, you know, things just began to happen. And I mean, I felt the power of God come on me, you know. And I'm sitting. I'm just a babe in the Lord. I ought to have been up doing something. But, you know, I'm just sitting there, you know, and because this is all new to me. You know, I'm not used to it. And I'm new there. And all of a sudden that power came on me. And I began to fall. I started to go. I was sitting on the edge of the pew, on the end there. And I could feel myself getting ready to fall out into the aisle. Now, you know, I'm a babe in the Lord. I'm not making this stuff up. I never had this happen to me, not by the Holy Ghost. I've had it happen with other stuff, but that was, you know, foreign substances. And so, you know, I start to fall out, and I said to the Lord, I said, I can't take much more of this. Now, when I said that, that power waned off of me. It lifted. And the Lord said this to me, and I'm not making this up. He talked to me because He knew I'd understand what He was saying. I didn't even know that God was the Most High. You understand? You know, Genesis says the Most High God. I haven't read Genesis yet. I haven't read that yet. I'm not that old. And the Lord said, you ever been that high before? You all believe God talked to you that way. Well, He did me. He said, you ever been that high before? I said, no, I haven't. He said, I'm the Most High. I thought, woo, I've never been that high before. And I've been high, man. Amen. I've been so high I thought I was a piece of fruit in a basket one night. Yeah, Phil said she thought I was. That was the LSD trip when you went a lot of places and didn't leave, you know, the parking lot. But I thought, man, I never felt anything like that. That was the power of God. Hallelujah. And Paul said, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And he told us how to do it. He said, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father for all things. Isn't that something? That we can actually drink in that power by doing that, by being thankful. Hallelujah. You know, that's the recipe. We just have to do it. Amen? Amen. Now, are you in Thessalonians? All right. Chapter 5, go there. Let me read just one verse here. Chapter 5, verse 18 says this, in everything, give thanks. Now, you know, we were so in love with Jesus. We were so excited about God. We didn't realize it, you know, but in the 1980s, there was a move of God going on in America. We didn't know it because we didn't know. We just thought this was normal. And it should be. But we were so excited for Jesus. We were so in love with Jesus that we even had teachings back in those days to thank God for everything. If you had a car wreck, thank God. You got some kind of sickness and disease, thank God for it. We were just that dumb and that stupid. And that's not scriptural. I said, that's not scriptural. It says in everything, not for everything. But we took it for everything. Amen. We took it to mean for everything. And so the teaching was, you know, whatever's going on in your life, just thank God for it. Thank God for it. Well, you know, as we grew and we kind of grew out of that babyhood stage, we realized God's not doing everything. And we're not to thank Him for everything. If He didn't give it to us, why would we thank Him for it? Amen. But we're to thank Him in everything. That means no matter what's going on, we thank Him. Now notice this, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's the will of God for us to give thanks. Amen. I remember I told you this before, but I was seeking God over some direction for ministry. This was the 1980s. You know, I hadn't really been saved very long, but this is probably 84 maybe. But I was seeking God over some things. I had just started in ministry in 82, so I hadn't been in ministry for a couple years or so, a little over that. But I was seeking God over some things. And I remember being in the grocery store at a town where I grew up. And there's a lady in front of me, and she had kids with her, and they were just, it was chaotic. I'm in a hurry. I'm just trying to get whatever I was getting and get in and get out. And she's in the line before me, you know, and her kids, you know how stores do it. They put all the candy and the gum and all that right there where the kids can grab it. Naturally they're reaching for it and, you know, and all this. And I'm just starting to get a little biffed, you know. I'm like, get going, lady. Get out of my way, you know. I could have helped her, you know. But anyway, I wasn't thinking that way. And I remember the Lord said to me, he said, you know, you've been asking me about my will for your ministry. I said, yes, sir. He said, you'll have to do my written will before I'll give you my specific will. I knew exactly what he was talking about. It was his will that I be given thanks, not murmuring and complaining. And he said, if you're not going to do, actually, he said this way to me. It's been years ago, but he said this to me. If you're not going to do my written will, why would I give you my specific will?
Yep.
Right? Why would God give me any more will if I'm not doing the will I can read? Right? Why give your kids any more direction if they're not doing what you told them last time? Got to do the thing that you already know to do, right? Well, so when he said that to me, that just opened up a new dimension to me. I began to realize, you know what? Listen, I got to do what I know to do. And then what I don't know to do, he'll reveal it to me. But if I don't do what I know to do, I can forget about him revealing me anything else. Amen. Now, I want you to see something. I want you to notice how this is worded, because this is significant here. And notice verse 18 again. In everything, how many things? Give thanks, for this is the will of God. Now, he could have stopped right there and said, we're to give thanks in everything, couldn't he? And told us it's the will of God, right? But notice he said this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Have you ever noticed phrases in your Bible that says, in Christ, in him, in whom? You know what those phrases are? Those are phrases telling you what you have in your redemption. Those are redemption phrases. Come on, are you with me tonight? Those are redemption phrases. In other words, when it says in Christ, you're supposed to look at in Christ and say, that's me. So when he says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, he's saying, this is the will of God in your redemption concerning you. Now, what I get out of this is this. When we give thanks, it puts us in the redemptive will of God. Well, thank you for getting so excited about my revelation. You say, well, I've already heard it like 3 times. No, you've heard it more than that. But still get excited. It's still good. John 3:16, still good, isn't it? See, thanksgiving puts you in the redemptive will. In other words, a lot of people will, you know, and I'm going to show you a scripture here in just a minute, but, you know, different languages, you know, like French, Italian, Spanish, they will use the word grace for the word thanks. Did you know that? So in their thinking, grace and thanks are the same thing. You ever go to pray and somebody say grace? Okay, grace. Grace was my grandma. You want me to say grandma? See, what's the revelation here? Here's the revelation about that. Is that this? See, grace, thanksgiving puts you in the grace of God. The will of God in Christ Jesus. When we're thankful, we're in the will of God, right?
Right.
Isn't that what that's? Come on, is that what that says?
Yeah.
All right, so if we're thankful we're in the will of God, then we're in the grace of God. Right? What's His grace? It's His. We're in the blessing. Come on, it just keeps going. How many follow me? We're in the blessing of God. We're in our redemption when we're thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that we don't have times that we're challenged with this, but we have to remember who we are, amen, and what we have, right? Amen. Now, all right, we got a little time. Go to Acts chapter 16. Come on, you get anything tonight? I want to look at this and one or two more scriptures, but we'll do it quickly. Acts chapter 16, go there. Acts 16. Just talking about how thanksgiving, it puts you in the will of God. Matter of fact, the psalmist said, Psalm 100, he said, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Don't even come before him if you're not going to be thankful. He doesn't want grumpy people around him. He loves you, but he doesn't want to hang out with you. How many like hanging out with grumpy people? Well, that's a word for your marriage right there. Get over it, because your wife doesn't want to be with you. Your husband doesn't want to be with you if you're grumpy all the time. It's like a friend of mine said. You probably heard this joke. It's kind of stale. But anyway, I like it. I thought he originated it. So I don't know if he did or not. I've heard it since. But he said somebody today asked me, he said, do you ever wake up grumpy? He said, no, I just let her sleep. I don't know if that's original with him, but he's who I heard say it. And so that's good. Amen. Well, how many understand, even in marriage, how many of your marriage ain't going to be very great? It's going to be very fun. It's not going to be very fruitful if one of you is grumpy all the time. Well, yeah, but things aren't perfect in our marriage. Well, maybe if you were thankful, they'd get a little better. Amen. Right? Well, I can't get her to... Well, I can't get him to do it. Well, listen, what you're supposed to do is what the Bible says.
Right.
You're supposed to do your part, not worry about their part.
Right.
Let God take care of that. That's the problem. You try to do your part, their part, and everybody's part. Amen. Amen. You just do your part, right?
Right?
What's your part? Your part's to love. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like that. Well, that's why it's not going well for you. It's going well for me. I've learned I got my part to do. My wife does her part, I do my part, all right? If I stop doing my part, she's not supposed to stop doing her part. Good. Jesus, rapture. I mean, come on, how hard can this be, people? We don't base how we operate on what somebody else does.
Amen.
See, the Bible says don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil. Don't let it dictate to you. Amen. Now, I know I know you have to fight. I'm not up here saying like, oh man, this is like tiptoeing through the tulips. It's really easy. But it's what you have to do. Amen. And really, it'd be good if you just would just be nice all the time. Hallelujah. You know, I used to hear Joyce Meyer a lot and talk about how her and Dave would fight all the way to church, and then to come to church and go, oh, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. As soon as praise and worship is over, sermon's over, they back out in the car fighting again. I mean, God doesn't get any pleasure out of that. You know. All right. I'll let her tell her own stories. They're funny enough. Amen. When she tells them, that's for sure. Amen. Now, are you in Acts?
Yeah.
Verse chapter 16, verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, this is Paul and Silas, and all they've done is preach and get a little woman delivered from a demon. All right? So they haven't done anything wrong. But when they had laid many stripes upon them and cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Well, first of all, listen, Paul was a Roman, and you were in those days, it was illegal to beat a Roman uncondemned. They had special privileges. A Roman citizenship in those days was something really specially highly prized. Some people paid to have it. Even though they weren't born as a Roman citizen, they would pay to have that citizenship because it meant you couldn't be prosecuted, you couldn't be beaten, you couldn't be locked up like they were locked up if you're a Roman citizen without a hearing. And if you didn't like the way things go, you could appeal all the way to Caesar and go see Caesar himself. They had certain privileges and things that other countries didn't have. So here Paul is, he's a Roman, and he's a Roman by birth. He was born in Tarsus. He was born a Roman. I mean, he's a Jew, but he was born in the city of Rome. He was a Roman by birth. And so they beat him. And they fastened their feet in stocks. And notice this, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. You notice there's an and there? And, King James says, sang praises. Some say sang hymns. In other words, they were worshiping God. They were, listen, they're beat. Their backs are beat. Their feet are in stocks. They're in the inner prison. I mean, they don't take any chances with these guys. They didn't leave them on the outskirts of prison. They took them past the weight room, cable key, TV, air conditioning, and all of it, and put them in the inner prison. Because these guys are dangerous because they got a woman delivered from a demon. And now notice this, and at midnight, notice that, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Whew. I have certain things underlined, verse 26. How many know? An earthquake isn't going to loosen everybody's bands. See, what happened? Something supernatural. Only the prison was shaken. See, the prison was shaken. The foundations were shaken. Now, I've got this. Now, notice this. The foundations were shaken, doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Why? Because a couple guys decided to praise God at midnight, even when they were in trouble. This wasn't comfortable, folks. Amen. I could go into the history of the way they treated prisoners, but, you know, we won't go into that. But let's go. We don't have time for that. But I want you to notice, here's what I wanted to say about this. They praised instead of complained, and it put them in the perfect will of God, didn't it? See, the will of God is for them to be out preaching. How many believe this? If they'd have complained, they would have stayed there no telling how long. They might still be there if they'd lived long enough. Because they prayed and sang praises. I mean, sometimes it's not enough to pray. Sometimes you got to sing praises. Are you with me now? You know, Brother Hagin tells a story. He's got a teaching, and I mentioned online. I don't know if Pastor Jerry, if you could find it online or not, but about it's not called the praise cure, but I think it's called ministering unto the Lord or something like that. But he talks in his message, he talks about a guy that was an evangelist, and he was in his early 20s. He had a wife and a kid, and he was an evangelist, and he contacted tuberculosis, which in those days was a killer. And so this man is dying of tuberculosis, and he got so sick he had to stop all of his meetings, and he had to move in with his in-laws and live there with them, and he was just bedfast, and he was that sick. And the guy said he said I was laying there in bed, and he said, I began to think, you know, he said, you know, if prayer was going to get me healed alone, I'd already be healed. He said, every church I've gone to, I've asked the people to pray for me for my healing. He said, I've got radio preachers praying for me. People all over the nation praying for me. So if prayer's going to be, if prayer was going to do it, it'd already be done. Now that's not knocking prayer, but sometimes we have to add and. Are you with me? So he said, I just decided. This was this guy's testimony. He said I was laying there. Of course, you know, they didn't have air conditioning in those days. It's summertime. Windows are open. Breeze is blowing in the room, the curtains and all. He said, I saw out the window. He said, about a quarter mile from the house, I saw a clump of trees out there. And he said, I told the Lord, I said, if you'll give me enough strength to get down to those clump of trees, he said, I will lay there and praise you until you heal me or I die. So he said, somehow, it just seemed like a little strength came into me. And he said, I got up and he said, I got down there. He said, then I laid down there, and when I laid down there, he said, all of a sudden the devil said to me, now you've done it. He said, nobody knows where you're at. You're going to die here. Buzzards will lead them to you. That's how they'll find you. He said, I just began to praise God. And he said, the more I praise God, the more strength I got. He said, after 2 hours, he said, I was standing up on my feet shouting praises unto God and was totally healed. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Hagin taught that in this teaching on ministering unto the Lord, And he was talking about, you know, sometimes there's more to this thing than just praying. We got to add the praise too, or the thanksgiving. You know what Paul said, the scripture we read? He said, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So sometimes, you know, we're praying, but are we doing the and? Are we thanking God? Amen. You know, it's not, listen, it's not that God needs his ego built up. How many know he's God? You know, listen, you're not going to build his ego up. He doesn't have one. Come on, are you with me now? It does something in the spirit realm. God never asked us to do anything for his benefit. How many know that? Let's close. Let's go here real quickly to 1 Peter. Did you get something out of this tonight? 1 Peter chapter 5, and then I want to just take just a few moments just to ask and pray for somebody if they have a need in this area. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank God for Wednesday night. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 2, not 5. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's go there. And I want to read verse 5. The Bible's talking about, it's talking about us. It says, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. This is what you and I are. A holy priesthood. How many know that we're, did you know you're a priest? A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So you and I are our New Testament priests, and we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Well, what's that? Well, there's different things. I did a study on this one time, actually preached on it years ago. There's different things that the Bible teaches are sacrifices that we can do. One is our offerings. Paul called it, Philippians, a sweet aroma, a sacrifice to God. The Bible says we can offer up our bodies in service as sacrifice. But listen, Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So one of the sacrifices we're to offer as priests is praise and thanks. Amen. Now, let's close with this scripture. Let's go to the Old Testament book of Hosea. I want to show you, this is an odd scripture. Hosea is right after Daniel, but I want you to see this scripture. It's a little unique scripture, but it's really powerful when you get the meaning of it. Hosea chapter 14. You find Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then Hosea. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. All right, you there? All right, go to the 14th chapter, and I just want to read this one verse, verse 2. It says, take words with you and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Now, most of you don't have a King James Bible. Am I right about that? I mean, with you, right? All right, so your translation says something else. It may say sacrifices. It may say praises. Both of those are wrong. Sorry to tell you, I'm not blasting your Bible. Not telling you to throw it in the trash. But when you look at the Hebrew, it's the word bullock. Bulls, calves. Southern Indiana, cows. All right? So, now, what they're trying to do, like, you know, I think the New King James says sacrifices. Another translation I was reading says praises. What they're trying to do is give you the interpretation of what was said there, okay? So, I like it that the King James just put it calves like it is, bullocks like it really is. That's what the Hebrew word really is. It's translated that way all throughout the Bible. I like that the King James just put it in there and said, now you go figure it out, because here's the meaning behind that. Just like in the Old Testament, you know what? They offered bulls and sacrifices for Thanksgiving offerings. Sometimes they'd have Thanksgiving offerings and they'd offer up things to God. Just like that, God is saying you can do that with your lips. When you praise me, it's like you got a cow on your lips. Amen. So when we're praising God, it's just like it's equivalent now to the Old Testament saints that would offer up bullocks on the altar to God. Now this thought came to me. This thought came to me. You know, because they would do that. You know, they would offer up sin offerings. They would offer up, you know, trespass offerings. They would offer up peace offerings. But then they could voluntarily offer up thanksgiving offerings, you know, and they would offer that to God. it came to me. You know, when God looks down on a service like we like we're having here tonight, or like during praise and worship, you know, and He sees us praising Him, how many know He sees us offering sacrifice? Amen? Now, how many know you don't want to be the only person in the service when God looks down and you're the only person not offering anything to Him? Are you with me now? I mean, we got, and this happens a lot. You got, you know, one over here praising God and one over here. What do you think God sees? He says, well, my son over there or my daughter over there is offering me a bullock, but this one's not, and that one's not, that one is, that one's not, that one is, that one's not. You see what I'm saying? See, He sees it differently than the way we see it. Well, I don't feel like praising God tonight. Well, how many know it isn't about how you feel? And I don't always feel like it either, you know, but I do it anyway because it's a sacrifice. And it's really not a sacrifice for me. I enjoy doing it, but you know what I'm saying? God sees it as an offering, a sacrifice. Amen. The Lord said this to me years ago. I hope I get it right. I've got it in notes somewhere at home, but He said this to me. I was getting ready to preach on the subject of praise, and He said, it breaks my heart that my people don't praise me. He said, why don't they praise me? I've done so much for them. Why don't they praise me? I'll never forget that. I thought, man, that's not going to be me. When I'm in the house, I'm going to have my hands in the air. I'm going to be praising you. I'm going to be thanking you. And not just at my church. My wife can tell you, I do it at other churches just the same. I'm praising God. I'm worshiping God. Not just at church. I do it at home. I do it in my prayer time. I'm thanking Him almost every day because He's been good to me. Has He been good to you?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You're going to pray. Don't leave out Thanksgiving. Why? It's part of the recipe. You ever bake something? And you leave something out, and God, I probably don't need that. You find out you did need it. Are you with me now? You know, you make a cake or something or yeast rolls, and you leave the yeast out. He's got flatbread. How many know that? Right? Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not a real cook. You know, I can cook some things, but I'm kind of limited in my culinary talents. But I do know this, you know, I put the stuff in there. I make the best chili soup that you ever had. And I got the recipe from Randy. So I got it off of him. I still use that to this day. Phyllis says it's the best, so you'll just have to take her word for it. Amen. But you got to put the right ingredients in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I get the juice, you know, and then, you know, I get the chili powder. Oh, the chili powder. Oh, man, we got to have this. You know, I made it one time. Phyllis tell you this is the truth. I made it one time. It made it so strong, it ate a hole in the pan. It was our spaghetti cooking pan, you know what I'm saying? Well, I let it set in there for a while, you know, and I let it set in there, and I put it in the refrigerator, if I remember right, in that pan. And so once we got done eating it, you know, we washed the pan, and then I went to cook spaghetti, and all of a sudden, it's springing leaks, man. My soup had eaten a hole in it. So I like it with a little kick to it, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you got to put the right stuff in there. You know, I got to put sugar in it. Hallelujah. Chili powder. I'm not going to tell you everything. You make it like I can. Hey, man. Come on, let's all stand up. Jill, come on up. Did you get something tonight? Amen. Woo, thank God for the Word of God. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.